Good morning and happy Easter, church. I am glad that we were able to join you this morning. I am excited to be able to share this Sunday that He is risen, that He is alive. I am extremely excited that we're able to have, thank you to Debbie and Carl Christensen that put together an opportunity for us to kind of be a part of Green Lake. As many of you know, part of our tradition is to have a sunrise service down there, and some of those videos incorporate that very thing of being able to go down there to celebrate that He is risen indeed. She was able to even rope in my kiddos to that, and so I'm really grateful for that, as well as Kathy Jo, who got a chance to lead worship today. And as we conclude this message as well, Kathy Jo is going to play a special number on the back end, and during that, there'll be a prompting of some verses, and that's when we're going to have our communion, is at the end of the service as we close. And so I want you to have those available and have them ready, and we'll prompt them, and as you see those verses come up, we'll do that. But thank you to her to be able to do that as well. Now, Debbie's story just told the story of Easter, the resurrection, and what Jesus did. See, Jesus came so that we can have salvation in Him. The resurrection took place through what He did. But here's a little bit of a different look that I want to look at today, and through Jesus' life, what the resurrection now means. See, Jesus redefines death. He interrupts death, and He was going to be that change and is that change for each and every one of us. The ultimate is He is the greatest interruption. But the greatest interruption that ever has and ever will be is Jesus. Because He came to earth, He died on the cross, and came back from the dead, that interruption seeks to interrupt us yet still today on this Easter Sunday. Well, this week I got an opportunity to go on there and to see a little video here. Go ahead and let's play that video of what I had.
Hey Fairview family, Pastor TJ here. I am at Lakeview Cemetery. Why am I at the cemetery on Easter Sunday? I'm here to give you an illustration of what Easter is and how Jesus redefined that. Here is the graveside of Bruce Lee, who came to University of Washington at 18 years old, became an accomplished movie star and martial artist, and passed away at the young age of 32. His son, Brandon, in his own right, a very accomplished actor, passed away in a tragic death at age 28. I just moved down from the gravesite, which is just behind me. And as you can see, people are coming still, even today. Why do people come here, you ask? To pay homage to these men for their gifts, their talents, and their abilities. They come from around the world. And even though they died at such a young, tragic age, it reminded me of the gospel and what Jesus did for us. He passed away too, of a very hard death at an early age. But that's where the similarities end. See, these men have their final resting place that people are coming to visit. Where as Christians, the tomb was empty on Sunday morning, and that's what we celebrate. Because Jesus interrupted death and redefined it and gave us a chance at eternity. See, death no longer was a period, a finite point. It became a comma or a doorway to eternity for those that believe on Him and accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. So as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection this Sunday, remember that we no longer are bound to the dash, but Jesus interrupted that and gave us eternity for those that believe on Him.
So that video serves as an illustration that any time that we walk or we drive by a cemetery, that is not a finite piece for us anymore. Because of what we celebrate today for Easter Sunday, that has completely changed. And I'm so grateful, and that's what we're celebrating this morning, is the victory in that. But Jesus interrupted that. And in fact, we're going to talk about a couple of those things, and Jesus interrupts our lives and our faith where eternity now lies if we believe in Him. And we're going to see two examples of that in the message that we're looking at today. One, the faith of a woman not held captive by her own fear. We should never allow fear to keep us from approaching Jesus. And the second, a father's love and faith that Jesus has more to offer than his own religion or status. These passages that we're going to be looking at take place in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. We see a couple of miracles take place in that. Those two miracles are that woman with the issue of blood, and we also see the synagogue ruler ask Jesus to heal his only daughter. Also in Matthew, he gives an account of this in chapters 9, verses 18 through 26 in his gospel, as well does Luke in chapters 8, verses 40 through 56. See, life can be full of interruptions on a daily basis. And I know for all of us, we're doing that right now. We have interruptions taking place. I was thinking in context of maybe your GPS, and we've had to rely on that a lot as we've just moved into a new city, and we don't know our way around other than back and forth to the church. And if you take the wrong turn, it will say, wait, recalculating, or traffic ahead. Would you like to choose an alternate route? It could be the interruption, like I've told you, my 10, 9, and 6-year-old children are now out of school for the rest of the school year. So meaning, since the end of January, they've only been in school for 2 weeks. But just like that GPS, when life gets interrupted, you have to recalculate, reorganize, and redirect. But the greatest interruption that has ever taken place and ever will be is that when Jesus came to this earth, died on a cross, and came back from the dead, and that interruption seeks to interrupt our lives yet still today. See, in Mark chapter 5, we meet Jairus, who is a synagogue ruler, which means he was in charge of the order of the service that was taking place in the temple. Jairus, his name is really cool here in the sense that not just it sounds cool, but that it, in its Hebrew origin, means God enlightens, which is really great because as I continue to tell this story, God enlightens will definitely be there and make sense to you. His life has been interrupted by Jesus on two separate incidents. The first one, a man comes into the temple and Jesus delivers a demon out of him, and Jairus sees this interruption. The second is a man who comes in with a withered hand and see Jesus touch his hand and heal him. And so he's seen Jesus interrupt on two different instances and heal. Jairus is having faith that believing in something that is greater than himself and even beyond the boundaries of the religion that he was practicing for his time. When Jairus' life gets interrupted due to his only daughter becoming sick to the point of death. Now, when you have watched Jesus do those two things I just said, cast out a demon out of a man, heal another with a withered hand, and your daughter is sick, let me say a couple things in context for us today. You do not go to your local Walgreens. You do not go to CVS. You don't go to the Bartell Drugs on the corner. You don't even go to the urgent care. You go to Jesus. That might be pertinent for some of us today. But Jairus goes and interrupts Jesus and asks him to come and pray for his daughter. And they begin to walk towards Jairus' house so that he can lay hands and heal his daughter, who is 12, to bring about deliverance. But on their way, this word comes up again. They are interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus recognizes that someone has touched him because the power has gone out from him. And he's like, who touched me? And his disciples are like, what do you mean? We're being crowded against in this crowd. How can you ask who touched me? Now, a little side story about this woman's condition. It would have made her ritually unclean and excluded her from most social contact. In fact, she may have had this fear. To touch Jesus would have made him unclean under Jewish law. So she touches the hem of his garment. Hear this, church. We should never allow our fear to keep us from approaching Jesus. Jesus then responds to her with this in verse 34. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. At this point, in verse 35, Jesus is interrupted by some men who came from the house of Jairus. These men are the bearers of bad news. They say, "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" This is a jab at Jesus because it was to say, you sought after this Jesus and you left your religious practice of the time and now you've missed your daughter. But see, Jesus then interrupts there and tells the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. He is saying there is a faith that conquers fear. The same faith that had you when you witnessed me deliver the man from the demonic part that was in him and healing the other man with the withered hand, that same faith somehow, some way has died in this moment. But Jesus says, do not fear. There are many people that struggle with fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the interruption. And I can understand right now, in the time that we're in, that those things are something that people could fear. But in the original language of Greek, when Jesus says, only believe, the sentence could be restructured to this other phrase that says, don't stop believing. Now, how many of you are just derailed by a tune that is now going off in your head? You maybe are thinking the band Journey and it started playing this song, but some reason that has stayed the test of time and why it's still used today in commercials and why it's even fitting for today is that very line. Don't stop believing still stands today. Side note, for those of you, to date myself a little bit, that song came out in my birth year of 1981, just in case you were wondering, but that's how long that song has continued. See, faith is not something you hold. Faith is something that holds you. I'm going to say that again because I think someone has to hear that today. Faith is not something you hold. Faith is something that holds you. It is a belief that whatever obstacle you're facing, COVID-19 or otherwise, there is a God that is greater and can overcome the obstacle. See, we serve a God that can move the obstacle or move us over the obstacle, and the obstacle is merely an opportunity for God to show up and show out in only a way that God can. See, when Jesus is in the story, impossible does not exist. I like this story because Jesus is about to crash a funeral and he's about to interrupt it. And we've seen some of these interruptions that have been taking place throughout this. But in verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, the people crying and wailing loudly. See, the commotion that Jesus saw was it was Jewish custom of the day to have at least two flute players and one professional wailer. Translation for Fairview, we saw a Carl Christensen playing. That would be a Carl, a Lee Tucker, and maybe even Courtney, my wife. That would be my flute section, as well as maybe one of my children throwing quite the dramatics and carrying on something fierce, and that would be my professional wailer. Yet, as the ruler of the synagogue, there would have been many more flute players and wailers at this location. These people had been contractually hired to come in, and they might not even know the family or the girl, but they've been hired to create an atmosphere of sorrow and sadness. And Jesus walks into the middle of an atmosphere of sorrow and sadness in verse 39. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Hold up. Wait a minute. Jesus, she's dead. No, he says, she's sleeping. And truth comforts tears. There's a lot of tears on this day, but truth just walked into the atmosphere of sadness and sorrow. And when I say truth, that is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He is able to change the atmosphere and redefine death in this very moment, which is when someone dies, that the final place is not final, that death is not final. He redefines this in his life because he comes back from the dead. Death is no longer a period. It is a comma. Death is not a dead end. It is a doorway. In this moment, Jesus is showing us the way that he looks at the situation. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And when the resurrection and the life says she's not dead, she's only sleeping, that's what he means. What he is saying is sleeping can be interrupted. He uses the language because in the faith of Christianity, death is not final. Death is a doorway to heaven. Picking back up in verse 40, those people that are playing the flute and wailing, but they laughed at him. After he put them all out, I like that part. Jesus kind of says, hey, go on your way. He took the child's father and mother and disciples who were there with him, and they went in where the child was. I like that he put them out because Jesus is about to change this story. It's about to completely flip, and this is about to become a party here. Now, putting ourselves into the story, I'm a dad, like I said, and before I have a 10, a 9, and a 6-year-old, and that's a prayer request all in that statement, I promise you. But Jesus takes mommy and daddy with a broken heart, and I can vicariously understand this because my parents buried my older brother not far from this church when he was just 11 months old. But he takes Jairus, and I imagine Jairus saying something to his wife of, hey, let's go and see what this guy has to say. I've seen him do two things at the temple. I saw him cast out a demon. I saw him touch a man with a withered hand. In fact, on our way here, he healed this woman that was suffering from this blood issue for how long? Oh, wait, 12 years. And our daughter that's laying here is 12 years old. He might be onto something. Let's see what he has. We then see Jesus have a supernatural interruption. Verse 41, he took the little girl by the hand and said, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. In a statement of power and authority, little girl, I say to you, get up. So we see Jesus interrupt the conversation between Jairus and the men that were bearers of bad news. We see him interrupt the funeral. But this is a beautiful message and should be hope for us today that Jesus interrupts eternity at this moment. See, here lies this little girl's body, and we believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Her soul is in eternity. But Jesus interrupts eternity and brings her soul back to her body. In verse 42, immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. At this, they were completely astonished. The funeral crasher Jesus has now turned the house of sadness and sorrow into a party because of her resurrection. This is the victory and hope that we have today in Jesus and his resurrection. Jesus took away our sins and adds to us righteousness. Because the cross extends grace and mercy to each of us who have faith and believe in him, we do not have to clean ourselves up or come to the cross in that way, but in the song that Billy Graham used, just as I am. Jesus paid it all that day on the cross, and the empty tomb was proof that the check cleared. May we never forget that. We left Friday service, much like the story of Jairus' daughter, in a sadness and sorrow state. But we cannot leave here today the same way, for we now know the rest of the story, that we are made victorious in Him. To walk in victory, not just today on Easter, but the rest of our days, because death has lost its sting because of what Jesus did. Between the beginning and the ending of our life, between the end date of your birth and your death, there will be storms, fears, and uncertainty. There will also be interruptions like we're experiencing right now that redefine us and refocus us to live our lives full of faith and for eternity, seeking our risen King. How are you living your dash today? If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today you can do that with a simple yet eternity-changing prayer. And I want to lead us through that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me of that sin. Come into my life. Help me to live for you. Help me to know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And forgive me of all those things. I want to live with you for eternity. Be the King of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've just had that prayer, I would love to meet with you. So email us, let us know, and I'd love to have a follow-up with you. One other thing that we get to do is to take communion. And that is, we do this in remembrance of Him, that very act that had taken place, His body, the bread, being broken for us, and the cup, His blood of the new covenant that was shed for us. And so we're going to have this special number from Kathy Jo that she is playing for us, that she put together for Easter. You will also see the verses come up from Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. And when you see those two verses, partake of the elements together. Church, as we get a chance to leave out from here, I want to tell you, I love you. Happy Easter. Thank you for being a part of our church. Remember that even in these difficult times, Jesus is the key to our salvation, and that resurrection has taken place because of what He did on that cross. I pray that you would continue to be well until we meet again. God bless you. Please watch this song and partake of the elements together. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
And I talk with Him when He teaches me to sing. I lift up my heart, though I stop and start, He never turns away. I need Him. I see Him. because he gave his life away. He gave it away. He gave it away. He gave it away. He gave it away. We need him. We want to know him. We bow before him and cry. Because he gave his life away. He gave it away.
Well, church, I am glad that we're able to join you this Easter Sunday. I hope that you're leaving with the hope that Jesus is risen. Thank you to all of you that have shown up today. May you be encouraged. Thank you for all those on the back end that help make this service possible. It's not easy to do all this in this format, but I am so grateful that we're able to do this, that we serve a God in the midst of this. So go out in peace. Live out the best Easter Sunday that you can, and thank you for being here. Be encouraged. I know that I am to be able to stand here right now and know that we've just taken communion together, that we've just exalted God and lived out what his resurrection means to us. I'm so grateful that he interrupted our lives and seeks to do that today to change the dash for us that we may spend eternity with him. Thank you for this time. Be in blessings all over, wherever you may be, from California to Mexico to Hawaii to anywhere else that we saw pop up. God bless you all. Happy Easter from all of us here at Fairview Church of God. You are loved. You are appreciated. Go in peace.